our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're an all-volunteer inner-city congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to all the world and feeding the poor. We encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons, all kinds of written lessons on there that you can learn from. The Islamic persecution is going on all over the world. We've got a map that we're going to put up here that will show you all of these countries here. Christianity is being completely persecuted in all these countries. And really, a lot of Europe, it's against the law to be a conservative, Bible-believing Christian like us. And that's why we're getting so much response from our website. All the Coptic Christians in Egypt here have been wiped out. The Coptics have just about totally been wiped out. All the Christians in Syria that have lasted there for 2,000 years in Mosul and so forth, they're just about wiped out. All of them in Iraq and are just about wiped out. Christianity is illegal in Iran. You get put in jail if you're Christian over there. And then North Korea and China and all of these places, Christianity is being persecuted. And now the Hindus have started it. And so without further ado, I'd like to read one verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it." And so tell us about that, Brother Paul. Paul just got back from India, and so tell us about your missionary journey, brother.
Thank you, Brother Kelly. In the last 2 weeks of February, I had the privilege of going to India and observing the work that's being done by many Christian preachers there. We have a number of Bible-believing churches in India. There's many of them. They're growing and growing and growing all over because of the work being done by the Indian preachers there. India was number 35 in 2011 on the list of countries that persecuted Christians. It got to number 15 in 2013. They have the Hindu nationalist BJP Party has taken over India, the national government, and many of the states. In 2011, in 2018, it's risen to number 11 in the persecutions. Let's see the first slide up here, which will show us. This is one of the meetings that we went to at an orphanage and a Bible school where they have a preacher's school, training preachers, but they also take care of a lot of orphans. This place we went to here was where we did preacher training. That was one of the primary reasons we went there. We also did some work and observed the Indian preachers in the villages. Next slide, please. Now, we had a picture of some of the persecution that's going on, burning of Bibles, and I thought that was going to be the first one, but they, in Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, the region where I sometimes go, they stopped an Indian preacher who had several boxes of Bibles. They burned the Bibles. They YouTubed it, and the government doesn't do anything. The Christians there, different Christian organizations, got together and demonstrated and got the police at least to file cases on these people. But they also, in states like Orissa, they have forced conversions. They go to Christian villages and forcibly convert them back to Hinduism. They kill people, burn their houses, burn churches. That's an ongoing thing in all parts of India now. There's a lot of persecution because the government overlooks it, and they have roving bands of Hindu nationalists that are persecuting Christians, beating up preachers, disturbing Christian services, killing Christians. And it's getting worse and worse and worse in India since the BJP took over. This is the picture here of the burning of the Bibles that they did. They also sometimes will go in and they'll burn Christian villages and assault preachers. They had one preacher who wasn't a member of the church, but he was another religious institution. who was persecuted for so long. The police said he'd been persecuted so long that he committed suicide by hanging himself and then setting himself on fire. And there was a lot of demonstrations against that also because they weren't filing a case. Next slide, please. Now, this is a typical class that we have with preachers. There will be anywhere from 50, sometimes 100, sometimes 200 preachers. And there'll be an in-depth study of either a book of the Bible or a concept. This year we talked about the term in Christ and went through the Bible where that term is used and show how important it is for us to be in Christ. Next slide. This is a house meeting. Some Christians here meet in houses. This particular place was in an apartment building in a big city, and if any of the tenants complained about having a meeting there, then you'd no longer be able to have the meeting. But most of the people in this apartment complex now are Christians. The man who lives there has converted Christians all over India. Everywhere he went in the business he was in, he would convert preachers, start churches. Next slide, please. Here's another church building that we stopped at and had a short meeting on our way to the orphanage where we were going to. Shows you they have some nice church buildings. Most of the places where the Christians meet are prayer sheds made out of thatch or small buildings. Some of them don't have any sides, but they have a cover to them. Next slide, please. This is the orphanage where we went to. You can see there's they have a basic Bible school there. They have seminars about every 2 or 3 months. There's they'll have a teacher who will come in and teach for maybe 2 weeks, and they're studying. They'll have a New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, in-depth studies of different books. But this place has been there a long time. The gentleman who this shows where they're feeding a lot of the preachers. But the man who started this school, when he died, there were over 6,000 people that came to his funeral. They were Hindus, government officials, members of the church in this small town where he was. He was so respected for what he did. Now this is a picture of 4 ladies who are going to be baptized. They spend time with them before, of course, studying with them. But once they made the decision that they want to be disciples and be baptized, they study with them some more before they actually do it. Next slide. Here they are, same thing. They're studying the Bible, going through certain passages in the Bible to emphasize the importance of what these ladies are going to do. Next slide. Here's a picture of one of the baptisms. They have baptismals in some of the places. Other places, it's rivers or irrigation tail water. Anywhere there's water, rivers, a lot of different places. Next slide. Again, here's another picture of a night baptism. This was in a place where we had a night meeting, and there was a lady that was baptized. Next picture. And this is just shows you another typical meeting. You can see the men sit on one side, women on the other side, but you can see the open Bibles. This is a meeting with mostly Christians here. And this next one is just a picture. This gentleman has coconuts all arrayed on his bicycle. He's a seller of coconuts, and he happened to be across the street from where we were. And it just shows you how inventive these people are and industrious the Indian people are. Next slide, please. This is a distribution of clothes, rice, and also Bibles at this preacher school. There's a number of groups donated these different items. Kelly and Burnett donated money, bought about 400 pounds of rice for these orphanages. And here's some of the kids wearing some of the clothes that were donated, and they all are just so happy when they're able to get clothes like this. And a lot of those people, a lot of the kids that come to this orphanage they have parents, but the parents aren't able to take care of them. So they come there and they're given education, Christian education, food and clothing. This is a place where we stop. They're dedicating a church building, and this is a picture of Don cutting the ribbon to dedicate a church building. We'll do that sometimes when we're in India. It encourages the local congregation there. Next slide. Here's the meeting that we had there. You can see, again, you see people with open Bibles, and they're very attentive. Doesn't make any difference. You can preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours, but they'll sit there and they'll go through the Bible with you. They're very attentive. And here's another place where there was, I think we had five that were baptized in a river near this big town, and they went out into the river and baptized them. The next slide. This is another place we stayed at. This place has been there for a pretty good while. We've had a lot of meetings, teaching preachers, but also women's meets. We had some women that went and taught there. Here, they're studying again with several who came from another village where they had no water, literally, to come and be baptized here at this place. And here's the picture of baptizing one of the ladies. And then this shows you we were really back in a lot of these areas where there's not a lot of roads, not a lot of people, but there's all kinds of animals. And you can see there's we probably waited 5 to 8 minutes for all these goats to come by before we could proceed. Every day about late in the evening, you'll see cattle, water buffalo, and they'll be bringing their goats back. And this is even on four-lane highways. A lot of times you have to stop because their goats are water buffalo crossing the road. Here again, we're praying with a group of ladies who want to be baptized. I think there was two men there also. Here's another meeting. You can see the building. It's partially constructed. Members will sit and they will do the bricks when they can afford to buy them and do them themselves. Here again is some more baptisms here at that place. Next slide. These are a number of people that all these people was another meeting we had at that area that had come to be baptized. Next. And here, this is another place, a night meeting we had. This place, a small village, but had over 170 people came to this small village, this building, really nice building there. And here's some baptisms at night that we did. We'll keep going. At night they were walking through the village, parading us through the village. You can see they're carrying the lights and they're banging drums, and this helps to draw a crowd for the meeting we had that night. And this shows you some of this is a four-lane highway, and this truck has all kinds of plastic jugs attached to it. How industrious these people are. Just wanted to thank all who donated funds and donated clothes for this. I ask that also that you pray that these leaders in India come to know the truth, to realize that the Bible is God's word and that salvation and eternal life is found only in Christ Jesus. These people, the preachers, work under difficult conditions and really need your prayers. Thank you.
Paul, before you leave, Paul has showed us some pictures of in one village. They captured a preacher and his wife, stripped them naked and their baby, and paraded them around the village. You've seen that?
Well, there's a lot of things. If you go on the internet, look up Christian persecution in India, you'll see a lot of pictures like that. That's the kind of thing they do. They'll beat people up. They parade them around naked. We had one lady at the the hotel we stayed at. She found out we were Christians. She came and talked to us and told us her story and how she had been teaching, went to teach some women. And the brother said, if you come back, I'll strip you naked and make you go home naked, because they threatened. But she went back, and she had these people are really strong in the faith, these Christians there.
What a wonderful, wonderful work you're doing. Let's keep supporting the work here, and you can see how the gospel is going out from this place to all the earth, and we're trying to help a lot of people. As I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were going to have a little safety talk again this morning. God is our strongest protector and our strongest weapon. Isaiah 54, verse 17, speaking about the waster and people who do harm. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is a heritage in the servants of the Lord, and the Lord is their righteousness. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And then in Hebrews 13, verse 5, God gives us all a promise that's made to every person that's patiently bearing affliction or persecution for Christ's sake. For he has said, the latter part of this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is really, you can't really translate the Greek here properly. The sentence is made up of five negatives, two verbs, and one personal pronoun, I, meaning God, and it translates literally out of the Greek, no, I will never leave thee, not I will never, never cast thee off. That's how much God loves us, and he promises that for us. And so, if you'll notice, as you came in this morning, there were new signs up outside about no guns, no open carry of firearms here, and no long guns are allowed. And we didn't know it until our police officer last week, the corporal, told us that we had to have signs like that, or people could just walk right up here carrying a rifle. Well, we want to make sure that we can outshoot everybody. So that's not going to happen. And so people, we've got it posted now so that they can't walk up here legally carrying, openly carrying a firearm or carrying a rifle. When I became the minister here 25 years ago, I was associate minister first, and I sit back on the back door back there with Burnett Wood and Fred Vaughn and I, and both them guys had guns, and I had a ball-peen hammer. And we guarded this place, and we've taken it very serious, your safety. When I came up here to preach, I knew that we needed to have a police officer, and we've had a Dallas police officer ever since. We're here in the hood. We're a mile from downtown Dallas. It's in the hood. The laws have changed. They allow Sodom to just come right on in here. They're just running around out there crazy, absolutely nuts out on the street. And some of these people are people that we minister with and deal with, and I want you to know how we deal with these people so that you'll feel safe to come here on Sunday. Number one, those that show up downstairs, down there at 8, 9 o'clock, are drinking coffee and eating donuts, getting breakfast burritos. Those people who really want to worship are allowed to come up here and come to Sunday school. And I go by and meet every one of them, and anybody with a bad attitude is a trespasser. They need to leave. Anybody that wants to worship God with us, and we're going to allow them, if possible, to we're going to help them every way we can. So we work with the poor and the homeless and the alcoholics, drug addicts, and so forth. But I'm telling you, after 25 years, it's getting harder and harder and harder to serve some of these people because there's a real bad attitude among some people out on the street. And there's some maniacs out there that they've let out of nut houses, and they're out in Garland too, and Mesquite too, so don't think that you're any more dangerous coming down here than it is out there, because they're all over. And we had one red. He was a big bully of the neighborhood, going around beating up all the hookers and women and all the street people and stuff, taking their lunch money and taking their money away from them. We had some run-ins with him, and he broke seven of our doors and windows out here. And then, of course, the street people got a hold of him, and he's now probably, I think he's probably doing a life sentence in prison now. He tried to beat a guy up, and he robbed a guy that just got his Social Security check. So I think he's probably going to be locked up for a long time. We have gone through a terrible bad winter, and two of our regulars have froze to death. that was coming to our classes. It's been here in church for a long time. Both of them had alcohol problems, but would sober up and come to church. And we have tried to work with them. You know, the Bible says very plainly, no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. So I try to teach these people, man, you got to begin somewhere. You got to make some progress. Stop drinking during the day. And then you'll only be a drunkard at night. You won't be a drunkard all day too. And so you'll just be a half drunkard. And so if you're a half drunkard, you've made some progress, then you've got a chance to go on and get it the rest of the way. So these guys had become half drunkards, and I really hated that I couldn't pull them both in. Little Shorty, he froze to death down here behind this grocery store. And I talked to some people bad, and I won't apologize this morning. I chewed a guy out this morning. And I really worry about him. I love him to death. I really do. He's destroying himself. He's killing himself. And all I can do as a minister is warn people that what they're doing to themselves. Brother David Sinclair and Fred delivered us a bunch of blankets, so we now have some more blankets. But those two guys froze to death back when it was the teens, getting down in the teens at night. Now it's 50. I'd want a blanket if it was 50 degrees outside. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but we got some blankets. And we had two of the people that we've tried to help. We fed. They haven't come to church much, but we fed for a long time. And they OD'd on heroin 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Both of them, both the man and the woman, got some bad dope. And China is manufacturing now fentanyl. And fentanyl is a cut for heroin. So you can take an ounce of heroin and take an ounce of fentanyl and put 5, 6, 7 ounces of cut with it and mix it all up, and you got yourself 8 or 10 ounces. But the only problem is that one guy gets more fentanyl and another guy gets less fentanyl. Well, the guy that gets more fentanyl, he dies. The guy that gets less fentanyl, he's going to come looking for you with a gun. So it's really dangerous business out there, the dope business. It's a business. Its time has come and gone, and I encourage everybody to get away from it. I could talk for hours about it. Any of you are tempted with being in the dope business, come and talk to me privately, and let me wise you up how that's a business that's come and gone. It's your past that. You know, all of this really works because you can look around you. Everybody who works here are volunteers. Nobody gets paid. All those guys back there, Larry and all those guys, every one of them, John and all the people that work downstairs in the kitchen, they're all volunteers. They don't get paid to do this stuff. And so we're here because we want to help people, we want to serve people, and we want to help the people of the inner city. We'd like to ask our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons that you can have a part of, and so we'd encourage you to go on there. Go to that website again, www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're on red alert around here, and we've been on red alert, high alert around here since 9/11/2001. For 17 years, we've protected you. And y'all haven't seen a bunch of guns, and you hadn't looked like the OK Corral around here or anything. There's nothing changed. Everybody, there's a lot of people here that are ex-military, that are ex-law enforcement officers, that used to work for the sheriff's department, that works for the jail and things of that nature, that are highly proficient with firearms, that are here, right here among us today, and they serve as volunteer church security people under the Texas Occupational Code. 1702.333 allows churches, if people are non-paid, for people to volunteer. So if you have a license to carry firearms and you come to this church, we want you to report to the police officer. We want you to report to me or any of the ministers. wants you to report to the deacons. We want to know who lawfully has a right to carry a gun, because you're liable to see a threat, and we're liable to see you pull a gun and not know that you're a lawful carrier of firearms, and we're liable to think you're the threat. So don't do that. If you have the license to carry firearms, you report to our police officer, let all of us know you, and then everything's going to be fine. The Cedar Valley College out here has a church safety seminar that we're sending William, Kraft, and Jordan to. Then in a couple of months, we hope to have it here for members of the church, for anybody that's members of this church that works here and serves here in any capacity. We want them to take that church safety seminar so that that they'll know a lot of things. And we want you to help us look out and weed out trouble. 95% of all people who shoot in churches are somebody we let in the door, and 95% of them are young white people, and mainly men. And so we have to watch, and mainly men, who little guys who've been bullied, and they're tired of being bullied. And so they might have a reason, but it's not a rational reason, it's not a good reason, and we want to try to save people from their own selves. But I'm telling you now, we're going to be on the lookout for any problems around here. And we have layers of security here. Y'all all know Truck. He watches the back door. Truck was a drunk on the street for years. Truck has repented and come to Christ, and he now feels that it's part of his responsibility to help look out for all the poor people and the other people that come here, and the women and the kids, and protect people. And so Truck's back there, and Bond's back there, and Joe's back there, and Larry, and James, and Rick, and we've got a whole mob of guys back there that's most of them weigh about 350 to 400 pounds. So I would advise you not to let them sit on you. Some members of the church have strategically placed weapons in this church, and I'm not allowed to have any type of firearms, and so they've told me to leave them alone, and I'm pledged to leave them alone, and I'm not going to touch them or have anything to do with them. I've got a, you know, they replaced my ball peen hammer. I don't have to carry my ball peen hammer no more. I got a better stick. And that's a sister asked me one day, she said, "I thought that was a hatchet in your pocket." And I said, "No, it was a ball peen hammer." And she said, "What that's for?" And I said, "In case I run into a nail." You never know when you're going to run into a nail in this job that I got, because I confront all gangs. I had a lady get mad at me this morning because I wouldn't let her have a brand new pair of work boots, steel-toed work boots. There's somebody that's got a job that comes to this church that needs steel-toed work boots, and I'm not going to give them to a dope fiend that's going to take it to the dope house. I'm not going to do it. So I don't care how mad they get. All those things we just deal with. It's just part of the ministry here. And so in my 25 years here, we've only had one close call that I call a close call, and I almost got the bad guy killed. Isn't that awful? Trying to help, I almost got the bad guy killed. And so I'm going to tell you about it. Truck was putting a guy out. As soon as he started putting him out, I'm on his shoulder, and I'm pushing him out too, and we're helping him out. Rick is right there, and we're taking him right on out the front door, and he's cussing and talking smack and all that stuff. You talk smack around here, you're a trespasser. We don't need any of that. We don't need any bad attitudes. Just take it down the street. We've developed a new policy that if you don't want to worship God, just wait outside and we'll feed you first. But you don't be in here with us, because we're in here to worship God. And so we're taking the guy on out the front door, and as he stepped off the porch, he put his hand like he had a shoulder holster in his coat and said, "I'll kill you." Truck stepped back. My associate minister's got a pistol right dead in his heart. One of our deacons had been working on the door as we got to the door, and there's a great big crescent wrench there. And I scooped up that crescent wrench, great big old crescent wrench. I scooped up that crescent wrench as we went by. And the devil is talking in my ear. He said, "That punk ain't got no gun." He hadn't got no gun. Smack him, man. And one guy's got a pistol right on him because he's threatening to kill us. And he's going like he's going for a gun. And only we beat him to the draw. And I almost hit his hand with that crescent wrench. If I'd have hit his hand, they'd have seen the flash of that metal go between him and me. They'd have thought he's pulling a gun. Both him and the guy working on the doors got guns on him by now. He's got two 45s pointing at him, and he would have been a dead duck if I'd have hit him with that crescent wrench. Now, that's how close that it came that one time. And we're determined, it made the minister, the associate minister, Eric, it made him sick. The other guy, it scared him so much he didn't want to carry a gun around here for 2 weeks. And so we don't even want to kill bad guys. But we're going to do whatever has to be done to keep you safe, and we want you to know that. If it walks like a duck or looks like a duck, I'm going to say something about it. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I insulted a young man here who's got a mother in a wheelchair, and he was sitting up at the front looking at the back. Well, when somebody's sitting at the front looking at the back, they're going to have to talk to me about it. I can tell you that right now. And so I went up and made him show me he didn't have a gun. I searched him. And so he was really just looking out for his poor mama. Well, I'd rather make 100 mistakes like that than let one bad guy get in here. So now we want you to know the plan. The plan is, if there's ever any trouble, get against the wall and out these two side doors. I guarantee you our children are back here in this room. They go to lockdown. That door's locked all the time. That's a metal door that they turn the light off in there, and they've got the kids like a fire drill trained to get on the floor and stuff. And so we're ready to go back there and save them kids. There's nothing going to happen around here that we're just not going to allow anything to take place. So that's a drill. If you ever hear shooting, if it's more than one shot, those of you at the back, get on the floor, crawl forward. Those of you four or five rows up, lay down in the seat, let our shooters get a shot at them, because they're Hawkeyes. They can take them. So that'll never happen. And you know why it'll never happen? Because we're ready. If we weren't ready, it could happen. But the devil doesn't want bad headlines. He doesn't want headlines, shooter shot down at the door by church members, you know, before he could ever fire a shot. They don't want headlines like that. They want to kill a bunch of innocent people, and that's not going to happen here. So we want you to know you're safer here than you are at your Kroger.